Broadcasting from Dublin, Ireland, you're listening to Ireland's premier mixed martial arts show.
This is Mike Dolce.
Ian McCall. James Little Evil Pulver.
The Crippler Chris Leavitt.
Is your IFA with
Johnny Hinder.
Frank the Legend Shamrock.
Buffer, your voice of the UFC Octagon, and now we are live.
Yes, we are not really live, but we are back on air as always. Peter is in Tenerife today, so we'll be joining with him in a second. Yeah, it is the Talking Brawls MMA podcast on SevereMMA.com. Lots to talk about this week, including Mr. Brock Lesnar's second sample, his in-competition sample, which matched the out-of-test. Competition sample that was taken back. I think it was July 28th or June 28th, should I say. So we'll touch on that ding ding dong later on. Also on the show, we'll be talking about Chad Mendes. Breaking news just a few moments ago. Chad Mendes has been given a 2-year suspension from mixed martial arts. So really interesting stuff there to talk about that later on. We'll talk about Tony Ferguson's victory last weekend against Lannon Venata, and also Michael McDonald versus John Lineker. A really impressive performance from John Lineker, knocking out Michael McDonald in incredibly tough and hard fashion. Also on the show, Mirsad Bektic will be stopping by. First time in a long time we've had Mirsad back on. A guy who's been out injured since last December. Mirsad took a bad knee injury, his ACL shot out, so we had to get that repaired, and he's obviously recuperated well and looking to get back in there. I think he's a potential fight as well, breaking sort of news. He hasn't actually got the fight lined up, but it's a fight he wants. He's called out Hakran Diaz, so you can catch that interview a little bit later on. We're talking about newly announced fight as well. Michelle Waterson versus our own Aisling Daly. Really good fight set for UFC Hamburg. And then we'll be looking forward to UFC on Fox from Chicago this weekend, which is Holly Holm versus Mrs. Shevchenko. And then we have Gail Melendez versus Edson Barboza. Can't wait for that fight. Absolute cracker, that co-main event. And then we'll be taking your questions. We have a new phone line here as well, so you can get in touch via audio. Listen, you can leave any, I don't care. You can ring the number if you want. You can leave voice messages, ask questions, whatever. It's cool. But you know what's a really good sit? WhatsApp. Get on WhatsApp, leave audio message there. We'll play out the messages on the show. I've only just got the number today, so the number is 00353 if you're international, and then 0838580862. So get in touch with us. Also on Twitter, at Talking Brawls, at Severe MMA, at PT Carroll, at Niall McGrath. Hit us up there as well with your questions. We want you to interact with the show. And look who I'm interacting with now, all the way across the pond, across the feckin' Mediterranean, all the way down there in Tenerife, off the coast of Africa. It is Mr. Peter Carroll. Peter, you're missing all the good weather here, man. What's going on, homie? Oh, I've muted him. Hang on. Sorry. My bad.
We had a foreign man screaming in the background, so we had to put me on mute.
But, yeah, but I'm always muting anyway, so.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
But, before I went away, I was like, I hope it pisses rain for the next week, and then he's got the biggest heat wave, I think, since I've been alive. So,
yeah.
Pretty shitty.
Having fun. What's going on over there? Drinking a lot, eating a lot, sunbathing, all that sort of shit?
No, just yoga. Basically, just doing yoga every day. Me and Lane just doing 8 hours of yoga. We don't drink.
Have you got your own Edo Portal down there in the beach, have you? Some movement skills?
Well, I taught Ido everything he knows. So, I mean, you know, you don't get this body from sitting around drinking beers.
Okay, I reckon we start off, Petey. I'm getting really jealous sort of looking at you there with the apartment complex in the background. There's probably a pool there full of hot chicks. Ah, you fucker. Okay. Chad Mendes, breaking news a few moments ago. We'll move to Brock Lesnar after this. You know, I sort of tweeted out earlier on, I don't think it's a surprise with either guy. There's always been a couple of whispers around what Chad Mendes was doing. You know, Conor came out and said it before their fight. Just your general thoughts off the bat.
Yeah. Like, to be fair, he's one of them guys that people had said for a long time that things were going on. Like, you just hear these kind of things. Obviously, when me and you were over in Vegas, we were kind of out of the loop in terms of, like, you know, inside the camps in America. When you go over there and you're talking to media guys over there, you hear a few things. And Chad Mendes was one of the guys that someone had said something to me before about if you actually just told me about this, I had no idea. I was on my way back from my water park, baby. I have no idea. So, not surprised that he's got the 2 years, and not really surprised that he was flagged in the first place.
Yeah.
I gotta say though, with Brock, you know, I feel completely justified in my selection of Mark Hunt now. I think it's a massive thing. When people take steroids, it's not only a physical thing, it's a mental thing, because they know, they think, I've got this one up on my opponent. Not surprised at all.
Yeah.
But Brock, look at the fucking guy. He looks like a shaved ape.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to surprise anyone. And the thing is, I just think it's the whole UFC 200 has been marred by steroid controversy performance-enhancing drugs, performance-enhancing drugs. So, you know, I think it proved a mistake for them to bring back Brock, because they were expecting him to, you know, break his record at UFC 100 and everything. Obviously, Jones had an impact on that as well. But they're saying, Meltzer said, early millions, I believe, that they hit. So, really, was it worth it? Was it worth getting him back? I suppose it was without Jones, but it's a massive black mark on the UFC 100 now.
On breaking, there's been a report today out on MMAJunkie.com that Brock used the same supplements or whatever, apparently, as John Jones. So, it's called clomiphene. Apparently, I don't know what it is. You know,
estrogen blocker as well.
I presume it's an estrogen blocker as well. So,
this
might be the new thing that everyone's trying to cover up and use this one. There's always the guys with fads.
We had Owen Lacey on the severe sessions there. It's only been released today.
Yeah.
But he's obviously a strength and conditioning coach, and he was saying, like, estrogen blockers 100%. If you flag for estrogen blockers, it's fame for a post cycle steroid drug. Obviously your testosterone levels and your estrogen levels spike at the same time when you're taking some dodgy shit. And then estrogen blockers obviously take the estrogen down because you don't want them bitch tits.
You know, we look at this, and you know the main problem I've taken from this, Peter, and I think we talked about this before, is the timeline of the events and how everything is tested and the results that are given to the UFC. You know, again, this seems bizarre to me. You know, we tested positive.
That they let him fight.
That they let him fight. Yeah.
It happened with Vitor as well back in the day against Jones. You know what I mean? That's absolutely ridiculous. Like, that's not safeguarding the fighters at all.
Yeah.
It's if you're gonna have that in place, you have to why is it there? Like, why? Like,
are we gonna find out when the UFC are notified? You know, I think that test was taken obviously on the 9th, and then the one was on the 28th of June. The one beforehand, I think it was. You know, I just think they need to quicken up the process of the results of these tests so we can pull these guys quicker. We saw John Jones obviously being pulled 72 hours beforehand. It was obviously the right thing to do. But can they not speed up the process of releasing these test results in order to save the hassle, to avoid losing the promotion millions of dollars of, you know, as we said, marketing and advertising, which they spent on John Jones and Daniel Cormier?
Yeah, I know. I completely agree. But the problem is that the anonymity of it is
anonymity.
That's the one I was looking for. But that's an important part of all this as well, because the testers can't know who they're testing.
Yeah.
So, you know, they didn't know they were fucking throwing John Jones under the bus 3 days before that. So, I think that's important because, like, whether we like it or not, people have bias towards certain people. They like guys, they don't like guys. You know, I don't know if that's, you know, grounds for someone to make someone fail a test, but it is important that it's anonymous. But, you know, when you say about the timeline, like, when are UFC being notified, do you think that UFC knew further out than we're kind of been led to believe here? Do you think they might have known, like, a week before and they kept Jones there?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I think the UFC, and I was on the radio today talking about it, I think, you know, the UFC have got USADA in for, you know, the wrong reasons, really. I don't think it's about fighter safety. I think it's about trying to, to validate the sport.
Just, I don't know what you're talking about. Like.
trying to validate the sport in the mainstream by bringing in USADA. And I think, really, at the end of the day, I don't think they're really thinking about the fighters safety, because, you know, poor Mark Hunt could have got a serious injury at the hands of Brock Lesnar.
I agree that Hunt should get all the money. You know what I mean? Yeah. Give him more money here, because million. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
You can't let lads, like, especially Hunty, so late on in his career, taking digs like that. Like, I mean, I know Rock didn't throw fucking much on the feet, but, like, he's still eating those on the ground. You know what I mean? It's all about miles on the clock here, and Hunt's been kickboxing his whole life, and now he's in the UFC. And that's, like, that's big damage. Like, no matter, when he gets a dig, it's big damage this stage in his career. So I think he should be compensated for that. And as far as, yeah, I think they were trying to, you know, they were definitely trying to establish the sport as a mainstream sport, bringing in USADA. But the reality is, the test is the most stringent in the world now. Like, people, have a look. There's loads of, it's well documented how little Premier League football players are tested and stuff like
rugby
that. Like,
players, I mean, all that, yeah.
Absolutely. Like, so maybe they've kind of gone a bit overboard with it, but at the same time, I wanted to be there.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to be in place, because it's not the same as soccer when people are getting digged in the head. You know what I mean?
100%. Yeah, I think rugby's the big next sport that's going to have a big crackdown on it. You know, there's a lot of usage.
What is rugby?
It's a guy's chasing an egg, apparently.
Yeah.
And just to clarify, Chad Mendes, what he was taking, it's GHRP, is a growth hormone releasing peptide, I don't know how to pronounce that, signals glands to produce growth hormone. It's not growth hormone itself. So that's what it produces.
If you're taking something that makes your body produce growth hormone, it's the same as taking growth hormone. You have to take a sneaker way of doing it.
You have to take some things to make certain adjustments to your body as well, don't you, Mr. Carroll?
Yeah, I have to penis reducers. So that's why I can never fight, lads.
No, I'll chop it off, you no problem. Just give me the kitchen knife. No worries, Petey, about that one. But do you think Brock's going to come back now? You know, 2 years, Chad saying he's going to retire as well, apparently. You know?
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, if they can't see themselves competing in a clean sport, then go. Like, there's no point in you being here.
I don't want them there.
You know, you want Brock?
No, I don't. It doesn't bother to me, you know. If he's doing that sort of stuff for coming back, he can, you know, go sling his hook and go do it in WWE. It's going to be interesting what the WWE do about it as well, because, you know, their wellness program, all that sort of stuff. He's scheduled to face Randy Orton, I think, at SummerSlam. I've no interest in seeing Brock back, I have to say.
Like, I mean, I always thought it was one and done anyway. Like, I thought Hunt was going to fucking smash him. So now he wins, and everyone's like, oh, well, Brock. And I wrote an article saying, like, it's not an incredible performance. It was an incredible feat that he was able to come back to the sport and do that. I retract that statement, though. I don't think it was amazing at all.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. Interesting for Chad as well. Apparently the rumour's gone around that Chad wanted to take the year out and do some fishing and hunting anyway, so he can go do that and go do for another year. And I couldn't really care less if he came back either, because he's, let's be honest about it, I'm not trying to insult the guy, I'm obviously a little bit angry with him, but he's pretty irrelevant in that division at the moment anyway. He's not getting a title shot anytime soon, so he might as well take a few extra years off and stay gone.
Come
there.
Back as a bantamweight maybe is the only way anyone really care, I think. Yeah. You know, I don't think anyone gives a shit about him at featherweight anymore.
Yeah, no,
and,
I agree.
You know, if he gets rid of the HGH, he's going to lose a few pounds anyway, so maybe bantamweight's where his future lies.
Yeah, and imagine getting Brock down to fucking light heavyweight in a few years. That'll be funny shit as well.
Middleweight. Off the sauce, everything just falls off,
McCall versus Lesnar. What a fight that'll be. All right, guys. I want to just mention, before we get to Mirsad Bektic, big fight card last week. You know, a lot of ramifications in there. The 135-pound division and the 155-pound division. Landon Vanata, very good performance. Had Tony Ferguson rocked, Petey. In fairness to Tony, you know, I think he looked a little bit complacent in the fight, but I think he came back, you know, he took a few big, big shots. I think it shows the warrior that's in Tony, and he came back ultimately to get that Darce choke finish. Just thoughts on the fight, and is that good enough, really, to warrant a title shot against Eddie Alvarez?
No. I have to say Lando was absolutely unbelievable.
Is it Lando or Landon? Landon. Lando.
No, but Lando. We call him Lando, like the guy out of Star Wars. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. He really made a fight out of something that nobody thought was going to be anywhere interesting. You know what I mean? It was absolutely brilliant. But the old long arms of Ferguson paid off for him again in the second round. But in fairness, Lando came out like a lunatic in the second round. Like, he was throwing. He was like literally.
But
like,
he was just staying in the pocket, though. There was no head movement, no foot movement. He was just swinging, and that's how he got caught ultimately.
Yeah, it got too good to him. You know what I mean? Like, he was actually teeing off him a bit in the first round.
There was no defense at all.
Listen, calm down. He was brilliant. Leave Lando alone. And Ferguson should be absolutely annihilating guys that come in like that. Like, and when I look at
but that's where I look at the complacency. That's what I'm touching on. Bing, ding, 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 dong. That's what I feel. I think Tony was just a little bit complacent in that fight.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, look what Nurmagomedov did to the guy. Obviously, it was a second round finish as well. But he absolutely battered that fucker who came in to fight him. And your man was as tough as old nails.
Yeah.
I just think you've got to strike while the iron's hot with Nurmagomedov. You've got to give him the shot now, because his knees are going to be bleeding shot now in a few years. So let's get him going on. And then if he wins, to bring in Ferguson maybe to fight him for us. I don't know.
No, I disagree. I want Ferguson getting it because I want my 50 quid off Graeme first and foremost. But no, I think he's done enough. You know, I think he's an exciting guy. I think a couple of fights obviously fell out for him. Chiesa falling out. That was a really, really good fight in paper. I think you have to take consideration the 8 fights as well. Give him the shot. That could be.
How many fights are Magomedov at?
I don't know. Well, he's unbeaten, 23-0. Ferguson's whatever. But 8 in the bounce in the UFC, only losing ones. Listen, it's a toss-up. I think it is. But I think the reason why I give it to Tony first as well, I think he's a really promotable fella. You know, he doesn't hold back in the interviews or anything as well. We've seen him slay Connor on a number of occasions, the rest of the division.
Are you gonna try and put him beside Nurmagomedov and think about who's a bigger draw? Because there's only one man wins that. Nurmagomedov is a way bigger draw.
We'll give it to Ferguson first. If Ferguson wins, to do that fight that's supposed to happen twice, in fairness, Khabib.
Really want that 50 quid.
And Tony for the title. Yeah, I do want that 50 quid as well. It'd be nice to get one over on Graeme with that. So yeah, make the fight happen. Make the fight fucking happen, guys. Okay. All right.
Now I'm with Normie just for the record. 100% give it to Nurmagomedov.
Fuck you prick. Such a bollocks. All right.
Before the end of the year,
sure,
it's only halfway through the year.
All right, okay. You know what I found as well? Remember I was saying last night we have to play this for the guy who's gone in the next interview. I did an interview about, it must be 3 years ago now, with Gegard Mousasi, and we get to do stingers sometimes that you hear in the show before we do the interviews. Gegard did one, and he just couldn't get it right. It was absolutely hilarious. So I'm going to play that one now before we go to Mirsad Bektic, and
then
we'll be back to talk. Obviously, Yashin Dating's upcoming fight, UFC on Fox Chicago, and talk about, answer your questions that you've sent in over the last week. So check it out now.
Could you do, this is a pre-recorded show, and we just do a snippet of the fighter. Could you just do, this is UFC light heavyweight Gegard Mousasi, and you're listening to Talking Brawls, is the name of the show, if you wouldn't mind.
Talking Brawls?
Brawls, B-R-A-W-L-S, yeah.
Brawl. Okay.
Cheers. Whenever you're ready, cheers.
Okay. Hi, this is Gegard Mousasi. I'm a light heavyweight in UFC, fighting in UFC, and you're listening to Brawl Fighting.
Sorry.
No? Wrong?
No, wrong. Sorry. Talking Brawls is the name of the show.
Talking Brawl.
Talking Brawls, yeah. Cheers.
Okay. Hi, this is Gegard Mousasi. I'm light heavyweight in UFC, and you're listening to Fighting Brawl.
That's grand. No problem.
Delighted to welcome back on the show. It's been quite a while. I think the last time we caught up was before, or was after, sorry, the TUF finale in July. Obviously, he was there with his team. That is ATT. And that is Mirsad Bektic, obviously sitting out there to pull out of his last fight, scheduled fight against Kawajiri due to an ACL tear. First of all, Mirsad, great to have you back on, man. How's all with you, my friend?
Thank you, man. Everything is outstanding. Your life is good.
Good stuff. First of all, mate, I want to just give me an injury update. How's the knee? Is everything all recovered? Has rehab gone well and everything?
Yeah, everything. I mean, I'm pretty much done with all that stuff. You know, now it's just getting back. Well, I mean, I've been back into training, so it's just, I've been grinding for a while now, so I'm actually looking forward to my break next week. So I've been going for about 8 months straight now, so I'm looking forward to my break next week.
What was it like sitting out, you know, obviously having to pull out, you know, a pretty bad injury, ACL tear, one of the worst injuries you can really sustain. You know, on a psychological level, how tough was it to sit out and watch on and look at the division unfold the way it has?
I mean, honestly, it was really difficult. I trained out. I probably, for the card jury fight, I felt I was more focused than I ever was. I trained harder than I really ever have, and I felt I was doing everything right. And just to have that happen, pretty much 3 weeks before the fight, it was really devastating. I invested a lot of time into myself, into my training. My coaches invested a lot of their time into me, as well as financially, too. I invested a lot of time in myself financially, recovery and all that stuff. So it really took a toll on me, and it really, kind of questioned a lot of things, because, you work so hard, and, not to get that fruit at the end of the tunnel. It was pretty hard, but thank God, I was able to stay strong and dig deep and come out on top again.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing you get back in there. What have you made of the division? Obviously, the division's been on hold in regards, the title for quite some time. What have you made of the division sitting back and watching on? Has it given you a good perspective of how it's playing out?
Honestly, just, stepping, sitting back and, watching these fights, watching these newcomers and watching these some of these guys have been around a while. It's just kind of, I feel like their division is kind of cleaning itself out. It's kind of like a recycling bin. Certain guys are getting recycled. I feel like, the only tough guys are, top four guys, Aldo, McGregor, Frankie, and Chad. But, Chad got his whole pet thing going on. So I feel like, the division's kind of, it's there for the taking, and I'm not taking it.
Mm. A lot's obviously changed since you've been in. We've seen the weight restrictions on fight week, things like that. There's been, we've seen a lot of guys obviously blowing hot in USADA. What's your thoughts on all that? Is it good for the sport? Is it going to make things better for the fighters and the fans?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's definitely good for the sport. I mean, I think it's really gonna test a lot of guys. It's gonna test a lot of guys' hearts. It's gonna test a lot of guys' character. We'll see if some guys are going to be able to perform the way they performed before, and I think it's great for the sport, because there's a lot of guys who do it naturally and just through hard work. So it's gonna really I think it's gonna make it more of a competitive sport.
I'm not sure. Did you use the IV beforehand, before the ban?
Yes, I used to use the IV a lot, actually.
So how is that for you? Is that going to affect you, going forward? Are you going to have to look at potentially a weight change?
I feel like I'm pretty big for, 145. I mean, I walk around at, 172, about 170, 172, eating healthy on a diet all year round. So, I feel maybe eventually, after I take this belt, then, in the future, I might, go to 155, But for now, I'm just staying disciplined, keeping on my diet. I've been on my diet since, I was on my diet getting ready for a Kyle Jerry fight.
Yeah.
3 weeks before that, I was about 15 pounds off 145. Had 2 weeks after surgery, I kind of ate whatever I wanted to, got big. And then I was right back on my diet. So, and I've been on it for 8 months now. So I'm really, I'm just nothing but solid muscle, and, yeah, I don't think it's going to affect me at all, because I always come prepared. So I think that's the difference between me and a lot of guys. When I take a fight, when I get in there, I come prepared. So it's not going to be any different this time.
I've seen a lot of your posts on, Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, etc. You're obviously a Muslim. Did you practice Ramadan?
Yeah, I practiced, what I could. It's very hard, with training. But I did practice it.
How is that the reason why, obviously, you said you're getting ready to get back in there, you're nearly good to go, is that the reason why you sat out possibly June and July because of Ramadan?
I mean, it has nothing to do with Ramadan. I mean, the way my PT, the way my reconditioning was scheduled, and just I'm coming off of ACL, I'm planning on coming back in October, so that's pretty early for an ACL anyway, right there. So, yeah. I mean, just it's more about just being, when I step in there, being prepared, not having any excuses. So that's the only reason I, you know, I was already training, but when I get in there, you know, like I said, I'm coming in to humiliate guys, so I'm not trying to go in there and have a competitive fight. So it just wasn't on the agenda to fight then. You know, we had a plan and we're going to stick to the plan.
Definitely. Kawajiri was obviously ranked number 12 when you got the injury. Does it have to be a ranked opponent for you in your comeback fight?
I'd like a ranked opponent. You know, I've been watching a lot of these guys, and I'd like to rank a point. You know, I don't want to take no step backwards. I'm looking forward, and I want to keep moving up. You know, I believe I'm ranked 15 or 14 now. So you know, I'd like somebody ahead of me, but whatever I get doesn't really matter. I mean, I plan to humiliate whoever stands in front of me.
You talked about that before when we had you on the show in the past. You talked about beautiful destruction and beautiful violence. Obviously, you visualize a lot of things. Who can you see, you know, yourself beating, or who do you visualize beating in your comeback fight? Is there anyone that's been grinding on your nerves that you'd like to get in there with?
I mean, I visualize beating all of them, you know, from 15 to number one. You know, that's pretty much, you know, what drives me when I'm training. You know, I think about Aldo, I think about McGregor and those, you know, you never know what can happen. And, so I think about those guys a lot. But as far as coming back, you know, Hucker and Diaz, you know, I like that fight.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind beating him up.
What appeals to you about that fight?
What's that?
What appeals to you about Hucker and Diaz and taking that fight?
I mean, he just fought somebody, you know, he just fought Cub Swanson, which is like ranked number 5, I believe, or something around there. So he just, he went 3 rounds with a number, you know, 4 or 5 guys. So I believe I can, you know, do a lot better than that. So that's pretty much it. And he's fighting a lot of the who's who, so it's a good way to prove myself too, you know, let people know what's up.
Yeah. Have your management team had any contact with the UFC about that fight?
No, I mean, I don't think so. I mean, obviously with the UFC, you can't really pick who you want to fight. It's more about who they want you to fight. So I don't think so. I mean, I talked with my management, and, you know, we've talked about kind of what are good matchups for me. But I believe all matchups are good for me because I believe I'm the best. So it doesn't really matter.
I want to get your thoughts. You know, an Irishman here, Paul Redmond, who stepped in at short notice to fight you. You know, he'd fight, I think it was last July, this time last year, and he lost that fight. Yeah. He got caught in the fight. What do you think of him being released by the promotion only after 2 fights?
Well, I mean, he lost both fights, so I can't really say, you know, argue much in his defense.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he lost. He didn't win. So, you know, if you're not winning, then same thing with me. If I'm not winning, then I probably don't belong in the sport, or I gotta choose something different to do.
Yeah, and I was just considering that he took the fight on such short notice against you, but
he made a choice, though. You know, you gotta be ready.
Course.
You know, if you're gonna be in this sport, you know, you gotta be training. You gotta be, it's a full time job. You know, so you shouldn't be having any excuses. You know, if I take a fight and I sign the paper, I'm not gonna have any excuses. You know, a lot of guys. He's not the first guy who's taking a fight on short notice. Yeah. And lost, and he's not the first guy. If he would have won, he wouldn't have been the first guy who took a fight on short notice and won. So there's really no excuses for him or anybody. As a matter of fact, you know, once you sign, and it's your responsibility. That's not your coach's responsibility. It's not your mom's responsibility.
Definitely.
It's your responsibility to be close to weight, to be on. You know, everybody's different. You know, it's the little things that matter. So if you're not dieting, if you're not treating your body right, then it's going to show. And then obviously, if something showed in this fight, then he wasn't able to win, and, you know, that's not on him.
Cool. Your thoughts on the new UFC ownership as well? Good for the sport?
Am I aware of it?
Do you think it's good for the sport? Do you think it's good for the fighters, good for the fans that there's new owners now of the UFC?
Yeah, I think it's gonna be very well. I think from what I've seen and from what I've heard, the new owners, they're involved in, you know, the big-time money guys. And they're involved in, you know, on Hollywood and, you know, other business endeavors. So I feel like it's going to do a lot of things for us, you know, plus, you know, lots of things that are going on with outside of the UFC with lawsuits and things like that, as far as, you know, guys getting paid more. So I think these guys have a good mindset, and, you know, they're wealthy for a reason. So they're doing something right. So I believe it's only going to end up better for us.
that's one of the major issues is the pay. But another thing, you know, I feel, and a lot of other mixed martial arts media guys feel, that the UFC aren't doing enough to promote fighters across the board. They're concentrating on, you know, one or two, the likes of Conor McGregor and Ronda Rousey. Do you think that's something they should really, you know, delve into more? You're a guy, you know, you've a very tragic story, you know, where you came from. You're a very remarkable personality as well. Would you like to see the UFC take more guys on board and try and gain these guys more exposure?
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice. I mean, why not? Of course, I would like more recognition, you know, but I guess, you know, those guys, you know, Ronda and Conor, you know, they kind of got, I guess they got something about them that that intrigues people. So, you know, everybody has something about them that's special. You know, maybe me, where I've come from and what I've had to go through to get here, it's a little different than what they are. So I believe in time, you know, my time will come. And so, I mean, I'm not crying wolf or anything, but... I feel like, you know, everybody's going to get, you know, their due in, so just another time before mine comes around.
All right, Mirsad, just before we let you go, big, big year for you, starting with Hakran Diaz. That's obviously the fight you said you'd like to take on. Is this going to be a big push and kick on to 2017, you know, and a real, real charge for that title?
Of course. I mean, if you look at my fights, I mean, I've been dominating everybody, I think. I think I've been one of the most dominant fighters, and not just in the featherweight division, but if you look at all divisions, it's really not. It's not been competitive with me and my opponent. So, and if you look at the strikes and all those details, I mean, it speaks for themselves. But yeah, I mean, I've had my eyes on the title from day one. So it's just a matter of time before it happens, you know. So I'll keep taking them out. I'll keep humiliating them and.
Great stuff. Looking forward to seeing your progression as a mixed martial artist in the future and seeing what is next for you, obviously. Mirsad, really do appreciate the time. The guys can find you on Twitter and all social networks. I think at Mirsad Bektik MMA. Correct?
Yes, sir. Yes. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, that's right.
And that was Mirsad Bektic. Great to see him recovered from that injury. And looking forward to seeing him back. Definitely one
he's
of the...
He's a proper contender, man.
One of the proper contenders in the division. On a path to destruction. Unfortunately, to pull out of that fight against Kawajiri. But really looking forward to seeing him back in there. And he looks like he's called out Hakran Diaz there. So that'll be an interesting scrap just to sort of test the waters. But he reckons he's going to make a push for the title.
I could see him going towards the end of this year.
Yeah, so could I. Yeah, he wants a ranked opponent. Obviously, that fight that fell out back in December. So, going to be an interesting one. And he wasn't too complimentary of Redzer there as well. I didn't know. It was a bit interesting.
What did he say?
He just said, you know, the guy shouldn't have taken the fight on short notice if he wasn't ready. That was his more or less his take on it. So,
well, has he seen Redzer with a short off recently?
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, then, you know, maybe we should send him a picture of Redzer with a shirt off and say, what do you think now?
You're more than welcome to do that. Fire away. And do that.
He sends me them on a daily basis anyway.
So tell me before we talk about Michelle Waterson's fight against Ireland's own Aisling Daly. You robbing any cars over there? Any nice motors you've picked up?
Yeah, it's a piece of piss because like they're all like 80s jobs because they're so close to the sea. No one's spending money on cars, so it's just... Me and Lane falling out of a bar at night time. We just rob a car straight up the road.
Sweet.
It's great. She's from Finglas as well. So, I mean, it's like a dream team for robbing cars, really.
All right. Okay. A dream team for robbing cars. Oh, right, Jesus. All right, you guys, you can catch us on Twitter. I'm at NoeMcGrath4. He's at Peter Carroll. Hit us up there. Okay, Petey. Big fight announced yesterday. And I know you've been talking to Ash quite a lot. I think she's over in Montana, you told me, at the moment. Yeah. Really, really tough test. I've reached out to Michelle. I tried to get her on today. Hopefully, we'll have her on in the coming weeks to talk about the fight as well. We've had Michelle on numerous many occasions on the show before. But this is a tough one for Ash. Michelle is two you know, pioneers of women's mixed martial arts. Absolutely smashing fight to look forward to in Hamburg in October.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you're talking about two former world champions, Asha flyweight, obviously Waterson and Adam White, and they're meeting at strawweight. Asha's a size advantage. And it's like the most important thing about this is really that I really loved the reaction when the fight was announced. Yeah. It really underlined how much Asha means to the Irish fans. You know, everybody seems to be getting behind her, and I know that really meant a lot to her because she's been on the sidelines for so long for nothing really. She didn't want to spend this much time out, you know. She wanted to go on the London card. She wanted to be on the Zagreb card. And I think she kind of gets the feeling, I don't, she hasn't said this much, but she kind of, I get the feeling that she kind of probably feels a bit unloved by the UFC. Yeah. And to get a fight like this against Waterson, someone who's so popular in the States, she's really happy with it. And, you know, in the past, Ash has had trouble getting up for fights when it's not a big opponent. Like, Randa Markos, she just didn't feel like, you know, what does this even do, you know, if I win here? So she said it's really lit a fire under now that Michelle has been named as her opponent. And she's over in Montana working away with Matt Thornton. And she's also working with, I think the girl's name is Leah Taylor, a black belt over there. And she's loving it. She's loving her time over there. And she'll come back and she'll be working away in Dublin then again. Best form of hair dashing in a long time. And I really, really think, I think the size advantage is massive when you're fighting Ash, because when it hits the deck, she's unreal on the ground. Mm. And that's one thing that Waterson's going to have to try and do in this fight is try and keep it standing for as long as you can. And she is capable of doing that. So I think it's a really, really interesting matchup. Yeah. And I think it's definitely winnable for Ash as well. Yeah. I know you seem to think that Waterson's it's fairly one-sided in terms of who's going to win it.
No, I'm not saying one-sided. You know, Ash always goes in there and obviously she's a battler. We know that with Ash, can grind it out. But I think Michelle's pace is going to be a big, big problem in this fight.
Yeah, well, she's one of the quickest.
She's unbelievably fast. So, you know, I think it's a great fight, as you said, on paper. I think it'll be a battle, you know. I think it's a fight where
both of these girls can show what they mean.
Yeah.
Like, show what they mean for that strawweight division.
I agree.
And, you know,
Ash has been working with Lindsay Doyle as well. She's mentioned how important Lindsay has been with the weight cut and getting down the weight. We saw that at UFC Dublin. She really looked good. She had no problems going in. She was in great form on the media day before the fight and after the fight. And really, I think she's found a really good partner with Lindsay Doyle.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, 100%. You know, I just hope the time... Like, I think it's ideal that she's got the Hamburg card, because that's what she was looking for. Because Ash is big for strawweight. You know, this is a girl who won a world championship at flyweight. And when you're that low, like, I mean, when the weights are that small, like, you're talking about 115, 125, that's 10 pounds is fucking huge Ash needs that full run. She needs that full run to get down the straw weight. So she's definitely got time on her hands here. And I think you're going to see another, the same version as Ash saw in Dublin. She looked absolutely incredible. It's the best shape we saw in her by a million miles, really, in her whole career. So I'm expecting the same kind of Ash to show up again.
I can't believe it's only Michelle Waterson's second fight in the UFC. The Manana
big splash.
Fight,
she made a big splash.
The Manana really fight's her only fight. We were over at that. Obviously, we covered it. That's her only fight. I find that strange. Just a year. But anyway, yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing.
She made such a big splash, though. She did. With that fight, everybody was talking to her before she came in.
Yeah.
She made a big impact. So it's a real chance for Waterson to open herself up to the European market.
Yeah.
And it's a real chance for Ash to open herself up to the North American market. So it means a lot to both of them. And I'm sure you're going to see both of them, no matter who gets the fee, is going to go out on the shield.
Yeah, can't wait for that one. Going to be an absolute burner of a fight. UFC Hamburg. Get your tickets for that on UFC.com. Nice plug for the UFC there.
on UFC.com.
Yeah, UFC.com.
Might see a few Pierre Carroll articles up there as well. Probably the best ones they have.
All the shit articles no one's fucking reading.
<You're so funny.
laughs> All right, let's move along. Fight card this weekend. I don't want to... Look, I'm so nice to you. I don't want to keep you for hours today because I know Elaine's going to be giving you shit. And I don't really want to talk to you today because I'm just getting pissed off. The more I look at you sitting there with your smug grin on the apartments in the background, I'm getting fucking pissed off. So I really don't want to talk to you. So fucking, this show is going to be an all-time fucking quick-ass show. UFC on Fox Chicago this weekend. Valentina Shevchenko versus Holly Holm in a, you know, I'm sure it's going to be a stand-up battle. Former world kickboxing champion, I believe, Valentina Shevchenko is against Holly Holm. We know Holly's background.
Muay Thai.
Muay Thai, is it? There we go.
Yeah.
So going to be a really interesting scrap. But you have to go with Holly in this fight. Because of the fact, you know... Hello, can you not hear me, Mr. Carl? Are you back? Are you there?
You just skipped out with Brandon.
Okay,
Brandon,
he's back. He's back. There we go. I'm going to go with Holly in this fight, Peter. I just think the lack of opponents Valentina Shevchenko has faced, high-quality, high-caliber opponents, could be the difference. And I really have to take in consideration, I don't know if you've seen The Road to the Octagon show the UFC have put out this week. Valentina, his coach, was actually shot in Peru a couple of weeks ago in an incident. She was there when the incident took place. You know, that must psychologically must mess up everything during your fight camp. Holly Holmes on the rebound as well. Very, very focused. She looks very, very hungry to eradicate that loss to Miesha Tate and make a charge back for that title. You know, what's your thoughts on this fight?
My thoughts is Holly Holmes, the best counter striker in women's MMA, and Shevchenko's going to try and strike with her. That's it.
Yeah.
I think that's why I'm favouring Holm here. But Shevchenko packs a wallop. You know, we saw her against the current champ now.
Yeah,
of course, was that at 96?
It was at UFC on Fox after UFC 194 in December. That's the card it was on.
I fancy Holm, but to be honest, I'm more interested in seeing what version of Gilbert Melendez comes back.
I was going to mention that if you had a little bit of patience there. See, he wants to get the fuck out of here today. Look at him. He's grinding his teeth at me here.
Let's go on the French Francis there toward from the top.
No, yeah.
He's absolutely a monster, man. He doesn't look like he's a human. Fucking, I'd be a bit worried if I was him. He's out of our knock on my door. Jesus Christ, man.
He's out of, listen.
Fucking, no, but Jesus Christ, man. Yeah, he looks like he's carved out of fucking marble, that lad.
He's a beast.
Never seen anything like that in my life.
Absolute beast. Who did he beat in his debut?
Who was in his debut?
Oh, Curtis Blades, yeah. That dude, they're both making their debut. Yeah, that was an epic fucking scrap. That was
knockout was absolutely fucking ridiculous. It wasn't a knockout, the debut was a knockout. We just fucking hit him once and that was the game over.
I think, you know, when we look at Barbosa and Melendez, I think this is a potential to be fight of the year.
Listen, we know you and Mark Henry's lads.
Will you get the fuck out of here? Gil Melendez, man, is just coming back from a ban, right? First of all, that's first things first, right? And I am very anti, you know, PEDs, drugs. I slate the motherfuckers. You've seen that earlier on in the show, right?
I thought you're a rugby fan.
I am as well, yeah. But I never.
That's a bit of a contradiction, isn't it?
Shut up, you. We don't know what you're putting into your body at all, sure. Even during this fucking show. Edson Barbosa, though, you know, vast improvements. We saw that last time out. You know, he's gone into Mark Henry there. He's working with Mark. We saw that against Pettis. Melendez, you know, a long time out in the sidelines. A guy who's, you know, in your face, a hardy vet of a battler. And Barbosa with those leg kicks and improved boxing. That's a recipe for a Diego Sanchez-like scrap.
I think... It's Melendez, the pace he puts on people is absolutely unlivable. Yeah. So it's gonna be interesting to see how Edson deals with that. A lot of people are afraid to exchange with Edson, kind of stay in there, and it's gonna be interesting to see how Gil feels about that as well. I want to see some Melendez elbows. I think they'll be huge for him if he actually manages to get top position here. I think he'd be absolutely really dangerous against Edson. You're right. You know, Barbosa's been on a bit of a tear here. If you look at the situations they're in coming into this fight, I think Barbosa's probably the safe money.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think Barbosa's going to potentially end this fight as well. Late TKO stoppage in the third. That's for me. Prediction?
I'd say it'd be decision either way, to be honest.
Twitter is not working. It's not working on my end. Are you in problems with Twitter there?
In Tenerife?
Yeah. Doesn't want to be working here for me.
I don't know. No, mine's grand.
All right, okay.
Shitty set, so...
Shut the fuck up, you twat. There's a few other fights in the card. We're not going to talk about them now. I think the lads on the SphereMMA.com podcast previewed them. Felice Herrig, Kellen Curran as well. Should be an interesting scrap in the ladies' strawweight division. Eddie Wineland back against Frankie Saenz. That's a good scrap. Darren Elkins, Gofredo Pepe. Another interesting one. I think
that will be terrible if Elkins wins, as usual. Lie down on top of him.
Yeah, true. We saw that in Dublin.
Effective.
Yeah.
But God.
He's up with the Alpha Male boys as well now, isn't he? He put a bit of a streak together.
Yeah. Well, it's just the problem with him is just he's so unspectacular. You know, let's be honest. The entertainment's a big part in this. And
even his personality comes through with that as well. Seems like a nice guy, but, you know, not the most charismatic dude in the world.
I'm sure you're going to call him a dickhead there, though.
No,
you had something
no,
running
I'm not that fucking bad. I'm not like you. You fucking little weapon, you. That's all you are, Carol. But
can you believe, actually, can I just bring this up? Can you believe Paul Pendred opened up his Chop restaurant in Black? While I'm gone.
Yeah.
While I'm gone. Where's my gold card, Carl?
Yeah, you know as I mean? I said to you yesterday on Twitter, you'd be getting a red card, mate. You'd be barred already. Free food. You'd be up there fucking robbing it for the whole clan, wouldn't you?
Can't wait to try one of these salads. What are they? You know,
Chop.
I can't wait.
Have you not seen what they do? They get the, you pick your salad, right? And then,
are you joking me? This is the second one in Blanche, and I'll fucking calm down, man.
All right.
Jesus.
Oh, you know. All right. Okay. Is this the second one in Blanche?
Yeah.
Is they selling well out there?
Yes, it is, man. People are crying out for nutrition out there. Yeah. Joke me. What is this? What is this lettuce you speak of?
Oh, fucking hell. There we go. Nice swoosh effect for you there. Did you hear that, Petey, now?
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
That was a swoosh effect. I have a new app on my phone, and I can hook it up to my mixer, and it plays all these sound bites and shit in. It's pretty good. I like it. All right, okay.
That was absolutely shite.
Fuck you, you wanker. Okay, how would Conor McGregor fare against the counter-striking of Aldo Orlando?
Are we doing the questions
Venata?
Now?
Yeah, this is the questions. The person hasn't left their name. The guy who lost to Ferguson. That's the first question. I think it's a bit...
Really? Conor would knock him out cold. Like, I mean, he's kind of walking against McGregor with his hands down. That's a look, man. Get knocked out. Like.
Exactly. Not defending himself, standing in the pocket. Very little head movement. Yeah, he's getting knocked out.
Come on, lads.
Completely agree. another one from this person. I don't know who this person is because I haven't left their name.
How do you not know who the person is?
Because it doesn't say who they are. It just says, like, their WhatsApp picture is, like...
It's
forks or something, but weird. Okay, why Damian Maia, Carlos Condit removed from 202, and has there been? Geez, when was that removed? I didn't even hear about that. Has that been removed from 202?
What?
I didn't hear about that. I'm not too sure. It is. Yeah, Condit. It has been pulled. I did not see it 7 hours ago. Only today. Yeah, this is broke. I was out all day. I was in a few interviews. Geez, that's very disappointing. Yeah, very disappointing.
Well, he's
that's
facing him on August 27th, a week later. He's fighting him a week later now.
Yeah.
Relax.
Yeah, but it would be nice for it to be on that card. Yeah, that's annoying. Yeah, it's obviously, you know, UFC spreading it out, trying to take away from UFC 202 now. And I think they want the numbers game and all that to get back at Conor. That's what it is.
Exactly. They're all out against us.
Have you got any there on your Twitter feed, PT?
I do, yeah.
I can't seem to get them. Read them out there, please. Yeah, my Twitter's just not working. Yeah. Everything else is fine.
Wayne, okay, let me tell you. Jesus, shut up. What's next for Strabanimal now that he has kickstarted his professional career on the big stage? Who will he have eyes on? Really, James. I was very, very impressed with James Davey. I think he was very hard on himself, to be honest with you. I was texting him a bit after. Completely dominant. He obviously wanted the finish. You know, I think people forget that we're talking about a 19-year-old guy here. You know, and he absolutely dominant. I think it was a masterclass on the ground. Some very intricate stuff. In terms of who will he have his eyes on, you know James is 100% confident in everything he has. But
do you even know what intricate means?
Huh?
Do you even know what intricate means?
Yeah, of course I do. All right, Jesus
sorry.
Christ.
I was just asking you.
Talking to a man who has a degree in English and a master's in journalism, mate. All right?
Okay, all right, sorry.
Don't let the accent fool you. Don't let the accent fool you. And then James will want to fight anyone, but the thing is, there's no point in doing that with him. There's no point in rushing him anywhere. This is a 19-year-old guy. Look what they're doing with MVP. MVP nearly killed someone there last week because they had him against...
I liked your article. I'm gonna give big up your article because I've been saying that for a long, long time. The guy's been fighting fucking cans, and look what happened. They've given him one too many guys that aren't up to his level, and he got a really, really serious injury.
Cyborg's a test. This is a guy with nearly an even record.
Yeah.
He retired 2 years ago. He came back. He suffered a TKO recently, and you put him in against Michael Venom Page. What the fuck do you think is going to happen there? Yeah. Feels like a snake with fucking arms.
Absolutely crazy.
Like, you know what I mean? And he has to start. He has to really look at this now and kind of say, right, well, look, what am I doing here? Am I here to make money or am I here to actually do something? You know what I mean? Like, it's 11-0. He's nearly 30 years of age. Let's see a proper test. Yeah. He's usually fights a welterweight. Ben Hemmings is there. Fucking let him at it.
Yeah. Yeah, who would you like Gallagher next, though? Do you push him right to the top of him and you slow build again in Bellator?
No, slow build. He's 19, man. Yeah. It's different.
I agree.
Had four fights. I want to see him build and build and build for the next few years. He's fighting in Bellator and he's 19. Conor McGregor fought in UFC when he's 24. That's 5 years. 5 years till you get to the big stage. I don't want to see him rushed in on anything. You know, let us see him develop.
Do you think Bellator was the right option for him?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah. Because, if they're doing this with MVP, they'll obviously do it with James, too. Yeah. Like James, to be honest, he wants to contest for these belts and all. Like, I'm sure if they gave him that fight, he'd want to take it, but it doesn't make sense. Like, it doesn't make sense now. He's still very young, and he said himself, he still has a lot to learn, but he's very promising. Really, really promising. You know what I mean? Like, I think that performance on the line, I don't know why he's beating himself up over that. I thought it was really, really good.
Yeah, no, there's interesting fights to make there. Obviously, it's a pretty stacked division, loads of options. So, you take your pick there of who's going to fight. Maybe someone like Justin Lawrence, a young kid as well. Obviously, he used to be in the Ultimate Fighter. That might be a decent, interesting fight for James Gallagher. That's one I might like to see. Okay.
I guarantee you it won't be him, though. Like, I mean, they're not gonna like Justin Lawrence still is fighting the UFC, you know what I mean? Or the Ultimate Fighter finale.
Yeah. Yeah.
I imagine a slow build here. Like, don't expect him to be thrown against Daniel Strauss anytime soon,
Yeah, big time. Okay, Farrell Connolly at Talking Brawls. Would Josh Koscheck be the right option for MVP next? A well established fighter, or will Bellator still aim to go Daly versus Koscheck? I can't see Bellator going MVP and someone asked me about MVP and what's he saying here? Sorry, I'm Daly. No, Daly. That's not going to happen. MVP Daly.
I don't know. It's probably better than Koscheck because it's in his wheelhouse. I mean, Koscheck could just take him down and
From a marketing point of view, with Bellator, they're not going to want two English guys going up against each other as well. Farrell here is basically saying here, Koscheck probably might be the right option for MVP, but that's a tough one for MVP.
Oh, absolutely. We all want to see him again. Like, look at what Koscheck did to Daly back in the day. That's why there's so much interest in that rematch. He just absolutely annihilated any type of exciting matchup that could have happened. Put him on the ground, bet the shit out of him.
And then proceed to punch him after.
Let MVP put on a striking showcase against Koscheck. Let's be honest, Koscheck's not the same guy he was when he fought Daly back then either. But certainly that is a step up. It's a step up. What does it tell you if he beats Koscheck? Does it tell you that he's a world beater? Absolutely not.
Yeah, certainly not.
It's better than the guys he has been facing, 100%.
PT, belated happy birthday as well. Someone sent in 34 for real. You can't be that immature, 34. Oh, brilliant. I love that.
Don't mind him. I know what that was. That was some thingless fucking knacker that sent you that. One of Siri's mates. Him and Siri be down the canal drinking cans on horseback. So don't mind him.
And you'd be around the corner. He's actually a legend, you'd be around the corner doing other things. All right. with Nick Diaz. This is Farrell Connolly again, at Farrell Connolly. With Diaz.
Looking like Farrell.
Yeah, he likes the questions. Due to return, is there any possibility of a silver rematch, seeing as last time both failed for PEDs? No, I don't see the point in a rematch.
You want to see it again? Not me.
No, I don't want to see it again. It wasn't a great fight the first time. It didn't live up to the expectations. Nah, let's see you later.
When a guy lies down on the ground, that's the best part of a fight.
See you later. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not interested.
I love both. They're like two of my favorite fighters ever. It's just I don't think Diaz be interested. I think he's going to get down to welterweight, give it one more run.
Yeah. Okay. Someone mentioned we're talking about potential opponents. I think we might have mentioned that. Was that last week? Opponents for was it Joseph Duffy? I think it was. Someone was talking about Benny Eldarush for Joseph Duffy as an opponent.
Tough fight.
Yeah, maybe a little bit slower, as we mentioned. We'd like to see
Ross Pearson, please.
Yeah. Well, Pearson's just taking a fight against Masvidal, so strange one that, going up to welterweight.
That is strange.
Any more questions on your end there that I've missed through the timeline here, Petey? Have you anything else up there? Someone said haircut. I don't know who that's aimed at. Probably me, because my hair is brutal at the moment. It's fucking terrible. I do need a haircut, I have to say. I got rid of the beard, Petey. Did you not notice?
Nah, chipper.
Schlick. That's it, I think. Listen, Petey's just stressed me here. First of all, he goes to me, right? The time difference. He goes, oh, we'll do it at 6 o'clock. And then I'm there waiting like 20 minutes, 20 past 6, 20 past 7, 20 to 8, 20 to 8. I'm there. Where the fuck are you, Petey? Oh, it's only 6 o'clock. 20 to 6, we're coming back home. Isn't it bollocks?
It was when I got over here, man. They told us to adjust my clocks when I got off the plane. Did the clocks go forward or some shit over there?
They didn't. They're holes. And there was no fucking change since you're gone. Full of shit you are, well, bro. Fucking hell. Yeah, my Twitter's just fucked today. It's not working at all. I don't know what to do. I've given up with it, to be honest with you. Okay, yeah. Looking forward to the fights as we begin, obviously. Do subscribe to us on iTunes. That's much appreciated. Do get in contact with us. That new phone number. Peter, have you got the number there? Oh, I have it here. No. You can listen, leave your voicemails, messages, anything you want. We'll play them out in audio format on the show. More than welcome to get in. 083-858-0862. International, overseas, you can use WhatsApp, send us voice message on WhatsApp, or put a +353. Standard network rates apply. I'm not getting screwed on that. If you keep moaning to me, you're ringing an international number. It is international, so go to your local operator, see what the cost of calls. So, yeah. All right, we're on Twitter. He's at PT Carroll. I'm at Niall McGrath, 4 at Talking Brawls and at SevereMMA.com. I think that's about it. Yeah, YouTube channel as well. Subscribe there. All videos for the format, interviews from the podcast. PT, I hope you have a great holiday. I hope it doesn't rain. I swear to God, I mean that truly from the bottom of my heart. And I think I need a pint now. I'm gonna go out of a few pints.
I had a bottle of beer while we did that.
Oh yeah, fucking look at him. He's just winding me up, this bollocks. All right, Peter.
I'm going out for a massive big fucking shit. Chinese meal.
All right. I was just gonna say a big massive dump.
Sorry. I'll have one of them as well, sure.
Yeah.
Just to be sure.
Sure, that's it.
I think I've sunstroke out to be in that water park, so I need to get my Aperson on as well.
How are the slides? Any good?
We see, we got in early, so we just did all the good stuff before all the people arrived. So we only live around the corner from them, so we went in and we did all the mad shit, and then we got very sunburned. So as you can probably see, my nose here look like fucking Rudolph.
Jeez, fucking Minger. All right. So when are you back?
Saturday morning.
Ah, don't bother. You can stay out there.
Ah, sure.
We don't want you back. We don't want you back. Come on.
What could I do? I could probably spearhead Spanish MMA into the mainstream, just like I did with Irish MMA.
That's it. What's your name? Your man's Enrico Marin, who fought.
Look, Marin's crying out for me.
Sage Shortcut. I'd love to get
Leave Sage fucking alone. Jesse's post the other day. Hey there, or whatever it was. Him on a bale of hay. Brilliant. What a man.
All right. Okay. Yeah, interesting stuff. We've look, all the new beats coming in here as we're going to wrap up the show this week. A little bit of banter. So yeah, listen, Petey, enjoy the rest of the holiday. You know, no final words for our listeners. You're such a rude.
Oh, sorry. Well, fucking thank me for doing this, listeners, because I'm on holidays. Yeah, so
tough shit. You can.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
All right, big thanks to you guys for listening to the show. Big thanks to UFC Featherweight, Mirsad Bektic, for stopping by as well. And as I said, you can catch the podcast on iTunes and severemma.com, so do subscribe. So from Peter Carroll and Niall McGrath, it is good luck and good night. Cheers.